six fundamentals of gentleness. I'm a coach. I'm a basketball coach and a missionary, and I get to that my people group is basketball worldwide. And it was really interesting. You made me just think about Haydn was that I was in Paris last summer for the Olympics. I was with our USA team, and that was a thrilling experience to be with them day after day after day after day. But one of the great moments that all of a sudden I had a flashback was this, you know, many of you might know who Steph Curry is. He said on the last day, right, like 3 hours we are in travel right before the Olympic gold medal game. And he said, I just want to tell you, he's telling the group, but is this, and we're reflecting before they get on the bus. They're going right to the bus to go to the game. And he just says, I just want to say how much I needed this. I needed a place of peace. I needed a place of calm. I needed someone to tell the truth. I needed to be before this book. I needed it badly because everything else was chaotic. Everybody wanted a piece of me. And I felt even the brutality of not even being able to control my own schedule. Even like, and he just said, I needed this. So let's see what God has for us. Six fundamentals on gentleness, of gentleness. Here we go. First one. Gentleness must keep making the cut. What in the world do I mean by that? I'm talking to you like you're basketball people, and many of you are just not. But you know something about teams. You do. You know something about teams, that people are on teams and they have certain roles and responsibilities, and you're hoping for a job that puts you on a team, and you're hoping for to make the cut. Okay? Well, I'm worried because the world that you and I live in, I don't see gentleness on the roster very much. And if gentleness is on the roster, it's not getting enough playing time. Because we don't think it's that important. We can put gentleness on the JV squad, or maybe next year. For the time being, what we need is some force. And we forget that gentleness actually is a force. God's word makes too much of it. And so when I say it must make the cut, look at this. Okay, so here we know that gentleness makes the cut because we've experienced Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Okay, you can see it. Gentleness is in the mix. Okay, it made it one time, but how about another list from the Apostle Paul? Let's take a look. The Apostle Paul, it makes the list again, doesn't it? It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, he's talking to us, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and goes on, bear with and forgive, forbear and forgive it. Those are gentle, forbear is, wow, that's put up with stuff, gently. And it says, clothe yourself. That means that's the way that you get dressed. Astrid, you wear glasses. You do? Yeah, sometimes? Every day? Every day, you wear glasses. Like you're not going anywhere out and whatever. You wear glasses. You get dressed every day with that. Clothe yourself down to your glasses or your earrings, or, you know, you wear a top, you're going to wear a top. You're going to wear a bottom, you're going to wear a bottom. You're going to get shoes. How about gentleness? It says clothe yourself every day. Put it on and leave it on. Please, Scripture says, clothe yourself with gentleness. Okay, how about anything? Is there any other? Oh, here's another list. Oh, it sounds a little firm here. It says, but you, O man of God, flee from all this. He's already given a list. I want you to get rid of this, but I want you to chase after this, pursue. That's a big buzzword, isn't it, for this? Pursue. This is what you chase after. We're going for the goal. We're going for the chip. We're going for the trophy. We're going for, you know, championship. But you flee from all this and pursue what? righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. I love the fact that he even left it last. Like, that's the exclamation point. You're not going to forget about that one, because we got to have that one in the mix. You're playing. You're getting lots of playing time. We're not building a team for God without gentleness. Hear me? That's the scriptures. This is how we roll. We got to have that shooter on our team, that defender on our team. Okay, so that's point number one. Let's take a look at something else here. What else does the, what's another fundamental besides the fact that you got to have it on your roster? Got to have it on your roster too. Gentleness must accompany restoration. Okay, so the scripture that backs this up or highlights this is Galatians 6:1. It says, brothers, if someone is caught in a transgression, somebody's messed up. Somebody messed up. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now, our national tendency is when somebody screws up, what are you going to do? Either you're going to hammer them or you're going to what? Kiss them? No. That's not your natural tendency, is to love them. No. You're going to hammer them, or you're going to kind of kiss them off, marginalize them, you know, just push them out, passive aggressive, you know, and maybe talk bad about them to some other people instead of, you know, being direct. Aren't you? Yeah, just quietly give them a pink slip. But this says, no, the goal is to restore. As much as possible, the goal is to restore, is to take the broken and fix it. Because that's what God does with us. And then we do that with each other. But as we try to fix, it's like you took Epaph out of the game and you could really bench him and dog cuss him, or, well, maybe not that, but you know, you could be harsh with him and really sting him hard so that he never does that again. But like, where's the gentle piece in there? It's not, it doesn't mean that there's no place for firmness, but gentleness has to get in the mix too. Has to, with a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourself, lest you be tempted to go off the rails. Okay. All right, so that's two. All right, gentleness must accompany restoration. Your goal is to restore. Goal is to restore, like bring people back in, not leave them out there hanging. All right, third, fundamental. Gentleness must be obvious. Sometimes we think that gentleness can be something that you just hide, that you let out of the cage every once in a while, or to be seen. You don't want to be seen as being too gentle. But the scriptures say the opposite. They tell us that our gentleness must be evident to all. Evident to all. Like, anybody who meets or experiences George should experience gentleness at some point. Or you. Evident to all. So there's a guy, I got a picture of a guy here. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize that guy? Does anybody recognize that guy? George, you recognize him? Who is he? Is he your neighbor? That's Captain Obvious. That guy became famous simply because he was part of an ad campaign to get people to go to a website, hotels.com. Like, you're looking for a place anywhere in the world to stay, you go to that website, hotels, is it hotel.com? Hotels.com. And this was his image that was attached to that, just a quirky guy right there. But you look at that, and for many of you who can remember that ad campaign, that's your little prompt right there. It's, come on, it's obvious what you should do if you're looking for a place to stay. Find Captain Obvious, hotels.com. Right there. But God wants us to make our gentleness obvious. That's the third fundamental. Fourth one, we're going to get a little bit tougher. It's going to be tougher here. All right. Gentleness, Gentleness trusts God to do the heavy lifting. Well, the fact of the matter is that there is heavy lifting that needs to be done in life. You got to move yourself out of bed sometimes when you don't want to. You got to move people out of your life. Or you got to deal with them in a way because you can't get rid of them. So there's some heavy lifting of your own weight, their weight, something. There's a problem. And there's some heavy lifting to be done in this world. There's a lot of war. There's a lot of things that are just absolutely should be intolerable on television or the movies or in social media, and just a lot of violence, brutality. But how do we get rid of that stuff? One of the ways is gentleness. And I know that most of us haven't really thought about that, but it's true. John chapter 4, John chapter 8, John chapter 21, there's stories that are in there that are embedded. They're great. They're great stories. The first is about a woman. The second is about a woman. The third's about a bunch of guys and one guy. In particular, in John chapter 4, there's a woman who's, you're not supposed to be around her. But Jesus gently approaches her and asks her for a drink of water. Right. And it starts a little conversation. And then Jesus leaves. But in that little conversation, that gentle conversation, that woman's life was changed. So much so that the story goes on in John chapter 4 that she tells the whole town about her experience with a cup of water and a dude that just gently asked her a few questions that took her deep and took her to places that she never would have imagined that changed her life. So much so that when Jesus left the scene, he found out that everybody knew who he was, even though he had just arrived and met one woman. And that's compelling, don't you think? You read the narrative right there, and you watch how gentle he was. And then in John chapter 8, same thing, another woman. And this time, this woman is not alone. It's not a one-on-one. She gets dragged and thrown there in front of Jesus because she's an adulterous woman. She's the lady of the night after the night after the night. And they say, hey, according to the law, she's guilty. What should we do with her? The law says kill her. And Jesus gently just writes in the sand and says quietly, hey, he who was without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, those guys drop the rocks that would have stoned her and they leave. Gentle answer. And then he's just left with this woman, and everybody else is gone. And Jesus says one more gentle thing. Can you remember? You know what the story says? It says, he says to her, go and sin no more. Gently. That was the same woman that ended up at the end of the story, being with Jesus, visiting the tomb, at the cross, at the tomb, so forth. Do you think his gentle answers changed her life, got rid of the heavy lifting that was going on in her and around her? What do you think? John chapter 21. A bunch of fishermen. Jesus has now been crucified, buried, risen, and appeared again. He's now back. And his disciples are out on the water and they're fishing. And they've gone all night trying to make a buck, trying to feed their families. And they find nothing. The pros find nothing. Couldn't find a bucket. Couldn't find a fish. Jesus shows up at shoreline and says, hey, fellas, throw the nets on the other side. Gently. Not sarcastically, I don't think. So just say, hey, flip it. And all of a sudden, the nets filled. It was crazy. And then they bring the boat ashore, and Jesus is cooking breakfast and already has it ready for him, not even with the fish that they just hauled in. Was that a gentle move that he continued to make with those guys? Now, can I remind you that those were the guys that abandoned him? They all abandoned him, and Peter denied him 3 times. All those guys abandoned him, and yet he had breakfast for him. And he showed him how to really get fish. And all of his responses were gentle and yet powerful. And at the end of the story, we all know from history that those 11 in the boat that had breakfast with Jesus also died for him. That's how much his gentleness, his truth, his grace, his love, and his gentleness impacted them. I'll die for you. That's how powerful gentleness is. It trusts God to do the heavy lifting. And in those moments where Jesus, he shows us how strong that is, can we use that same gentleness too? Because there's power in it. Are you tracking with me? And sometimes you don't have to slam people in order to get things accomplished. Just pull down the volume. Okay, 5. Principle 5, fundamental 5. Gentleness supports the ultimate goal. It's imitating Jesus. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to become like Christ. It's not to go to heaven. Heaven's the destination. The goal is to become like Jesus. That should take your breath away. It takes mine away. You want to make me like? Who do you want to make me like? What? That's amazing. You want to make me like a little Christ. Well, if that's God's goal, to make me like Christ, then guess what? The only two ways that Jesus describes himself, not tall, dark, handsome, bright, resourceful, clever, industrious, you name it. The only two words that he uses to describe him, powerful, of course. The only two ways that he describes himself are what? You look at it. I am gentle and lowly. Gentle and lowly. Wow. Think about the weight of that. That's the way that he wanted to be known. Everything else you can experience, but I'm going to tell you, this is who I am. And when you come to me, with all your weight, your labor, and heavy laden stuff, I'm going to give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't think he shouted that. I think he just said it straight up. This is what you get when you get me. I'm gentle and lowly, and I'm calling you to the same. God's game plan for your life is that you look like that too. You find it. You find the rest. Learn of him. Come to him. Learn of him. Find your rest. But he's calling you to imitate him, and that's what it looks like. Next slide. So, this is the proof text. God's plan for us is to be conformed to the image of his son. So if he wants to make us like Christ, that means gentle and lowly. And to be okay with that. Will you be okay with that? It turned out pretty well for him, didn't it? All right, last one. Gentleness makes me strong. It makes me great. Now think about that. You might want to say yes right away, of course. But that's counterintuitive. It is. It's counterintuitive. The world teaches us that gentleness is dangerous because you're going to get stepped on. You're going to get marginalized. A gentleness is going to be a problem. But That's not what the scriptures teach us. In Psalm chapter 18, verse 35, look what it says. It says, David the warrior, this is a guy, he's the UFC of UFC. He's the champ of the champ. This is what he says. He says, you have given me the shield of your salvation, man. I got a little extra protection here. It's you. And your right hand has supported me. I'm out there and I'm knocking heads, taking no prisoners. I've won a lot. But then the last line he says, your gentleness has made me great. It means that David somehow had experienced the gentleness of God. That David realized that God did not treat him as his sins deserved. The gentleness of God got to his heart, and that's the thing that kind of like stood him up and made him strong. It's not just his own pumping of iron and his own beating of heads, but it was the gentleness of God that made him strong. And have you thought about the gentleness of God in your life, and what does it do to you? Does it make you sit down and feel sorry for yourself, does it rise up and does it do something to you? Maybe it should make you like drop to your knees, but then jump up and say, I'm indestructible because of who lives in me. And I felt his gentle reach into my life that lifted me up and got me and restored me. It was a stunning verse to me. I never really noticed that one before. But David said, your gentleness has made me great. Look at this next quote here. I'm a coach, so I like this one. It says, it's the greatest strength in the world is gentleness. That's a quote from John Wooden, who's in the Hall of Fame twice. He's a monster when it comes to coaching. He said, the greatest strength in the world is gentleness. Would you think about that? Would you maybe like draw that into your life? And, you know, Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. But the greatest strength in the world is gentleness. Okay. So, let's just talk about a few examples and ask a few questions. You got your six fundamentals, okay? Example, my fun example is Smitty. If Smitty's here, we know Smitty can help us with this one. Where he's bouncing it. Bounce it up here. Let's go. Smitty, I got to ask you a little, yeah. Come on. Don't hurt me.
I'll try.
Don't hurt me. Smitty, I'm going to get a little personal here with you, okay?
Feel free, Coach Mo.
Yeah, so I know you got a car that got you here, but there's something in your car that's probably not in a whole lot of other people's cars, but I think it's in their mentality, but it's in your car.
That's right.
What's in your car that's in everybody else's head that they want to use from time to time to solve their problems? What's in your car?
I got a jackhammer in my car.
Anybody else got a jackhammer in their car? You got a jackhammer in your car. In case you're wondering what a jackhammer is, it looks like this. And what does that jackhammer do?
It breaks through the concrete.
It breaks through concrete. And the design of this instrument, this machine, is to take the hardest substances in life and just blast them. Yeah. And okay. And as you do that, what do you look like while you're doing it? And how long does that last?
Not very long.
Why? Was it only the concrete's only that deep?
No, it's hard.
Because it's hard, it will wear you out.
That's right.
Yeah, and yet when we're trying to solve problems, we're trying to move stuff that's heavy and get it out of the way. Sometimes we say, where's my jackhammer? And we just try to beat it out and get rid of it, break it up. And so, okay. But we just said that the greatest strength in the world is gentleness. So there's a place for a jackhammer, but not nearly as much as we think. How about this for an example? Smitty, tell me, what do we got there? That's
a water.
A as water. Can water break up stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it can. It just sits there and it just has a lazy flow. And that's how the Grand Canyon was made. It was water. It was water. Smitty, thanks for talking about your car. I'm just saying that's something to think about when it comes. Second little example of gentleness is let's just talk about not what we say, but even just the volume of when we talk. Can you hear me? Yeah, you can. And it makes you almost listen more. I've told you for a million times, stop. You know, you can get those kinds of things, or you could say, hey, look, we're going to find a better way to do this. Or maybe just this can be done. Here's how. Okay? A soft answer turns away wrath. That's what it says. A soft answer. A soft answer doesn't mean it's a weak answer. It just means, like, taking the volume down. And you know what? Sometimes we struggle because, you know where we really struggle with the volume part is when we know that we're right. And then we try to just, come on. We try to outshout somebody. And if you really know that you're right, just take the volume down. And the power of that might take the volume down in the other guy. And then another example, maybe the last little example. So there's a young man that had a lot of, you know, hurt people. Sometimes they hurt other people. Sometimes they hurt themselves. There's a guy that I coached some seasons ago. And he was a really gifted shooter. And he was recruited to one of the best universities in the country. And his coach said, we need you and we want you and we want you to shoot the ball. And you can shoot the ball from range all over the place. And we're going to be a national championship contender. But he also told this guy, look, you miss a shot, I'm taking you out. That's a hard way to live. And that went on for one season. Every time he missed a shot, he took him out and he never put him back in. Game after game after game. And so that external brutality started to get to him. After three seasons of that, he was a broken man. And he came on an Athletes in Action tour like you were talking about, Hayden, and I had him with me. And we were playing a high-stakes game, the last game against a world-class team in China. And it's a very tight game. And I knew that he came on this tour because he's looking for help, because he wasn't gentle even with himself. All the abuse of everything else, and now he was abusing himself. And so he came off the floor at the end of the game. It was a very tight game. It was so tight, I think we were down one. And he came off the floor and he had just the worst, this is like 20 seconds to go in the game, we're down one and in China on the road. Can't expect any good calls. And he came off the floor. And as he's coming out the floor, I met him out on the floor and he looked at me with pain and he says, I can't hit a shot. Take me out. I can never hit a shot. Take me out. And I reached out with my hands as gentle as I could, and I looked right in his eyes, and I said, Drew, I'm not taking you out until you hit a shot. He was stunned. He got back out there on the floor. I didn't take him out. He got back out there on the floor. Even they had to deal with the reality. Could this be true? Got back out on the floor. We run the play. He hits the bucket. Game over. We win. The next season, he ended up being second in the nation in field goal percentage. True story. Can't make that up. All right, let's take a look at a couple questions. In review here, how do you get dressed? Like, what do you wear when you get up? What do you wear? And is gentleness in the rotation? Like an everyday rotation? What do you pursue every day? What are you chasing after? Are you chasing after gentleness or, I don't know about that one. Third, what do you apply to the brokenness and brutality that you see every day around you and even in you? In the Neosporin, is gentleness. How Captain Obvious is gentleness in your life? When people experience you, do they experience gentleness? It's the mark of a believer. It's the fruit of the Spirit. How about the next one? How do you get your heavy lifting done? You know it's got to be done. You're going to run from it? You're going to beat people? Just beat yourself? What would Jesus want you to do with your heavy lifting that you know that's there? Does your commitment to follow Jesus, if you say that you're a Christian, you're committed to follow him? That's what it looks like. But does it include gentleness? The last two are tough questions. Who needs to experience more of your gentleness? Who in my life needs to experience more of my gentleness? Who is that person? And why might gentleness be hard for you to bring right now? I believe that God's calling us. It's one of the fruits. We got to taste it, eat it. Why might it be hard? Ask that question to the Lord and use your response time to figure this one out. Please, I beg you, we got to get wins in the area of gentleness. Learn of me, come to me. I'm gentle and lowly. I'm going to show you this is how we're going to get it done. Let's pray. This is a good one, Lord. This is a hard one. Would you, oh God, would you mark us? Would you mark us afresh with yourself, gentle and lowly? And may a watching world see it, taste it too. And God, pray that you would visit us with your gentleness afresh. We need it. We need you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who never could be beaten. Amen.